Good morning, church. A blessed new year. Sun in Mongyan, just like our sister said, you know. And two more days and Chinese New Year will be over. And we hope that all of you have enjoyed your fellowship together. And before I go into the word, my wife, Alison, asked me to correct something I said last Sunday. I preached here last Sunday. I shared with you that, you know, our car broke down a number of times when we were in Malacca, you know, and after that I shared with a friend, you know, they gave us a new wajah, but I forgot to tell them, to tell you that was 15 years ago, because after service, many people congratulated her on getting a new car. And I say, how can you expect this old man to remember the years, you know, how 15 years ago, it is too long for me to remember. And in fact, our 15-year-old car is already starting to to give us trouble, because in December, I was supposed to come down here to preach in a Pu Chung Baptist Church. And the moment I left Malacca, the car died down, you know. So, and I told Brian, you know, after the service there, 9 o'clock, I will come here to have fellowship, you know, with brothers and sisters, although I was not supposed to be preaching, you know. So I said, sorry, I cannot come, you know, pray for me, you know. And I told Brian, you know, we are looking for a good second-hand car, you know. If anyone is, he knows of selling a good second-hand car, just let us know that. So pray for us, you know, that God will continue to provide for all our needs, which He has been doing all these years. You know, actually, you know, God has blessed our family tremendously, and we want to thank God for that. So let's commit this time to God. Father, indeed, we want to thank you for this morning. You have brought so many people to the corporate prayer. We thank you also for the children who are here for the Sunday school, Lord. Indeed, we thank you for the many efforts Pantai is helping to reach out in prayer. We see some wonderful testimonies and the message of looking to God for guidance and hearing Him. We thank you for this morning, Lord. We are sure you have spoken to many of us through the songs that we have sung, through the testimonies that we have heard. And we now, Lord, look to you for your word, even as we look at this passage. We pray and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Many of you know that the third Sunday of every month will be a family, you know, time when we can come together. And in January, we had Pastor Jack dealing with husband and wife, you know, how we can continue to love each other. And just now, your promotion, you know, of the couple for 10 weeks, I thought, you know, that was a very good one. Whether you're married, you know, or planning to marry, or married for many years, I hope many of you can join that. You know, it will enrich your marriage definitely. So after that, you know, husband and wife, we come to the next passage. We'll talk about children and parents, taken from the same book, Ephesians chapter 6. If you look at chapter 5, you know, verse 22 onwards, it talks about husband and wife, and the wife to submit to the husband, and the husband to love the wife just as Christ loved the church. Then it comes to the children. I was wondering, you know, husband and wife, and then why the children, you know, before it talks about the parent. You know, then probably, this is my own thinking, probably after you get married, you know, then the children come along. So God is telling the children how they can, you know, obey their parents, how they can obey and honor their parents. And then it will come to the father. After you have, you know, your children, then you become parents. You know, without the children, you cannot be parents. So God's message to the children, He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Here Paul gives us four reasons for children. You know, I was told that the youth are also here this morning, apart from the children. You know, it tells us that children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In the Lord means, you know, because you are a Christian. Because you are Christian, I mean, this message is written to Christians. Because you are Christian, you are in the Lord. So, you know, you obey your parents. You know, you honor them. Because it will be a great testimony, you know, to your, especially if your parents are non-Christian or your children are non-Christian, we'll come to the children part, you know, it will be a great testimony for them to know that now, you know, after you become a Christian, you love them even more. Hopefully, even before you became a Christian, you are filial, you love your parents, you honor them, you obey them. From young, hopefully, you've been doing that. But now, since after you have become a Christian, you even do it more because now you are a Christian, you're a Christian child. And as a pastor for many years, I've heard testimonies of parents who does not want to become a Christian because the way the children have treated them. And that is very bad, very, very bad testimony. You know? It should be because now you have become a Christian, you should love them more, treat them more, spend more time with them. For he says that, you know, because you are in the Lord. I also have heard testimonies about, you know, an old lady I visited. He said, Pastor, I don't want to become a Christian the way my daughter-in-law treats me. And again, there's a terrible testimony. But thankfully, having been a pastor for 40 years, I have heard good testimony more than this, you know, one or two times of the bad testimony. You know, many have become Christians because of the way their children take care of them. I still remember this story about a pawpaw, you know. The whole family, you know, the children and the grandchildren all have become Christians except this old lady. So one day this pastor went to visit this pawpaw and says, Pawpaw, you know, why don't you become a Christian? Your children are Christian. You know, your grandchildren are Christian. He says, Pastor, because I've been worshipping this Kuan Yin for many years. Not the Lim Kuan Yin. It's, you know, the goddess. I've been worshipping this Kuan Yin for many years. You know, it looks like a betrayal for me to leave this Kuan Yin and now go and become a Christian. So this pastor is very, you know, God has given him the wisdom. He says, does your children love you? Oh, yes. My children love me, you know, especially after they become a Christian, they love me. What about your grandchildren? Oh, my grandchildren even greater. The parents, my children, sometimes they're not free. But every holiday, my grandchildren will come and take me out, weekend for food and all, you know. You love them? Yes. All of them are Christians and all of them love me very much. I'm so thankful that they are Christians. And this pastor says, so, do you know, Papa, that one day, you know, all of them are Christians, so when they leave this world, they will all go to be with Jesus, isn't it? Yes, yes, they go to be with Jesus. But you are worshipping Kuan Yin, so you alone will be with Kuan Yin when your time comes. The proper thing about it, isn't that logical? The pastor say, no theory here. Logical, yes. Very logical. You know, you worship Kuan Yin for many years, so when you die, you go to be with Kuan Yin, alone with Kuan Yin. Forever and ever. And your children and your grandchildren all with Jesus. Do you want to be alone? No, no, no. I want to follow my children. I want to follow my grandchildren. Then you have to become a Christian. You say, oh, okay. I want to become a Christian. Not very good reason. But then, you know, it's a very logical reason. Later the pastor shared with her and then she come to know the Lord. You know? And it's true. Isn't it? It's true that we want, you know, because you are in the Lord, you want your parents, you want, you know, not only your children, you know, not only your parents, you know, you want everybody that you love, your family members, maybe the brothers or sisters, or even your golf kaki, your badminton kaki, whoever, you want them to be all in heaven with you, isn't it? So it's your responsibility. But here it's talking to children. If your parents are still not Christian, it's your responsibility. Not the church responsibility, you know. Sometimes we blame the church, we blame the pastor, we blame the elders. No, it's your responsibility. Who is closest to your parent? You. And if you are not giving a good example, how do you expect them to be Christians? So, you know, living out the Christian life is more important than you telling them, oh, we have this evangelistic meeting now, so-and-so is coming, you know, or this show, you know, so-and-so. Your daily relationship with your parents is the most important. And here it says, you know, from young, you obey your parents, you know, in the Lord. For this is right. Second reason, this is the right thing to do. Why is it right? Because without your parents, you and I won't be here. Married couple may not have children, but none of us are here without our parents. Isn't it? Somebody gave birth to us. We didn't come from the rocks, you know. No, all of us have parents. And this is the right thing to do, to honor them and obey them. And this is the first commandment with a promise. You obey and listen to them first because they are your parents. Secondly, as your parents, they want the best for you. You may not agree, you know, especially during the rebellious age when you're 13, 14, you know. Our daughter was that, now our son is already that, you know. And sometimes they say, hey, daddy, you don't love me, you do this. They may, but actually whatever we do is because we love them. We discipline them also because we love them. We are not like mad people simply back them for nothing, isn't it? No. We tell them this is good. They may not think it is good at that time. But here is because your parents, they are your parents. You know, they have more knowledge than you. They have more wisdom than you. So what? Sometimes they ask you to do things you may not understand, but it is for your own good. You know. So Paul says, first thing, because you're a Christian, you're in the Lord, you obey your parents. You know, you honor them. Secondly, this is the right thing to do because they are your parents. And thirdly, he says, it is commanded. Third reason is this is a command from the Lord. Command is nothing you cannot choose to obey or disobey a command. In the military, you'll be court martial, you know. If it's a command, it is a commandment. And he says it is commanded. You know, the Ten Commandments, number 1 to 4, is between us and God. Starting from the fifth, you know, a relationship with each other, the first thing is your parents. Honor your parents that you may live long in the land that God is giving to you. Of course, you know, that one, the Ten Commandments was talking about Canaan, the land of Canaan, God, the land flowing with milk and honey. God is going to, you know, that's why they lost the land. They didn't listen to God. They disobeyed God. But here Paul is using it, you know, Paul is using, that was for the for the Jews. But now, Paul is giving this same promise to all Christians. You know, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. First thing, it may go well with you. The Chinese translation is that, you know, San Wei Chok Fok Le, bless you. You know, God will bless you, go well, whatever you do. I was sharing last Sunday, you know, actually it is in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, it says, you know, if you listen to the law and keep everything that God is written in the law, God will what? God will prosper you and make you success to do everything that your hand touch. That's why I say it's good, you know, I mean, it's nothing wrong to wish people, fa choy ma, fa choy doesn't mean genting, fa choy doesn't mean 4 digit, fa choy is God's blessing upon our lives. Also blessing, you know, who doesn't want blessing? All of us want blessing. God's blessing is eternal. Other blessings may be only temporary, things that can take away. But when God bless you, nobody can take that away. And so here he says, you know, that obedience brings blessing. It's a command. First thing, because, you know, you're a Christian. Secondly, it's the right thing to do. Third, it is a command from the Lord for us to honor and, you know, obey our parents because it will bring blessings to us. It's sad to hear stories, you know, about children dumping their parents in old folks' home and don't take care of them, you know. And it's here of stories. One time I have a member who has, you know, whose parents gave birth to 16 children. I wonder how, I have 4 already, really very difficult. And nowadays they want 1 or 2. 16, no. So I asked this brother, how your parents remember the name? How many have we got? 16? Anybody? Only one church got, a couple of 16. I said, last time is different. Last time we are we're not. They just put a box, a wooden box, dump us there. Everybody has a box, you know. So we go there and then we sit there. No iPad, no nothing, you know. No Facebook. We were quietly sitting there for the whole day. We don't make noise. The moment we make noise, quack. No more noise. Very quiet already. Oh, we are so obedient now. We fight back, you know. Huh? I saw in WhatsApp when 10-year-old child in China using the knife to chop the grandpa because the grandpa wants to take the phone away from him. That's terrible. Our time, mana. We look at our father really very quiet, really very obedient, isn't it? No need to scold, also. No need to pack that one. No need for that. The moment you look at him, everything is very quiet. Yeah? So here he said, nowadays, you know, two parents can take care of 10 or 16. Now 10 children also cannot take care of the old folks, you know. They pass it, take slot. Who will take them for this one? Who will take them for this? 10 brothers and sisters. All will be educated and, God bless them, but can't take care. It's so sad. My eldest daughter worked in the Agape's care home in Malacca, started by Straits Baptist Church. They have about 22 inmates in that old folks' home. And every new year, they will ring up these children and say, you better, come at least for the new year, the Chinese New Year Eve, take them home now for the, reunion dinner. And every year, only half of them take them home. The other half, as though they have not received the call, And 2 years ago, they said, okay, now this year is different. Since, half of you didn't want to take your parents home, those who do not take their parents home, we will pack everything your parents have and send them back to your home. If you don't come now, we will send them back. All of them came. I think it is very good strategy. For those of you who are running over, you don't want to take them back, we'll send them back to you. We don't want them anymore. But of course, those are only the half. My daughter told me of one old lady there. Three times the family members visit her. One for breakfast, one for lunch, one for dinner. And sometimes even supper they will come. Either the children come, they take turns to come, or the grandchildren will take. Oh, how blessed this lady, this old lady is. Of course, when you put your parents in the old folks, not necessarily you don't love them. Sometimes because the husband and wife have to work, they're worried that, the old papa will fall down, and it has happened, fall in the kitchen, fall in where, and then who can't afford a maid, who's going to take care of them. So sometimes they send them there daily. In the morning, just like nursery, stand them there, and then after work, they pick them up. You see, because they love their parents, not because they discard them there, And so here it tells us that, as children, we need to, honor our parents and love them and to spend as much time as we can with them. That is our responsibility as children, And I remember, one time Maria Anderson was asked. Maria Anderson is a very famous black singer. She has sang before kings and queens, and presidents and every big shot. One time she was asked, he says, Maria, what was your greatest moment as a singer? Which king, which president, you have sung, and then you remember that for life. Maria said, he says, the greatest moment in my life was when I went home and told my mom, Mom, you don't have to take clothes and wash for people anymore. I will take care of you from today onwards. That was my greatest moment. Not singing before presidents, not because you get whatever awards. When I told my mom, who has worked so hard for us, you don't have to work anymore. I'll take care of you. I wonder how many of us can tell our mom, our parents that. Yao chuk sik chuk, yao fan sik fan. Doesn't matter. I'll take care of you from today onwards. You don't have to work anymore. That will be their greatest moment as a parent and a moment for you to remember. That is what God tells us, to honor our parents. To love our parents You know, because they are here. The moment they leave, we can't do anything anymore. You know, sometimes the Chinese funeral, non-Christians, the criers, you know, their parents die, you know, make sure pay them, you know, and so that they cry very loud. We love our parents. Actually, at the back of the house, they are laughing because the parents have left so much money for them, just to show how much they miss their parents, but actually not from the heart. You know, it's sad, isn't it? That's why there's a Chinese proverb and say, you know, that when your parents are no more there, then you want to honor them, you want to be good to them, you can't do it anymore. While they are alive today, that's where, you know, children, where you honor your parents, love them, do the best you can for them while they are alive. And especially as a Christian, that will be a very powerful testimony for them. You know, that they know that after you become in the Lord, you know, you love them. I hear one testimony in seminary. George and myself, we're serving on the seminary board. One girl was up there, one chapel was sharing. You know, the father opposed her for becoming a Christian from very young. Whatever you do, you don't become a Christian. But somehow, you know, people brought her to church and she became a Christian. And every Sunday, she will make some excuse to go to church. You know, but the father somehow found out about it, took the Bible away. He said, from now on, you don't go to church anymore. He says, but before, okay, like, I mean, obedient, also taught to obey my parents. So I didn't go. She was about 17 years old at the time. But I prayed for my father. I pray for my father, and also the church taught me, you know, to obey my parents and honor my parents, you know. So, you know, in the past, before I became a Christian, I would just walk in and out of the house without greeting my father. But now, since I know I'm Christian, I will always greet him, Dad, I'm going out to where? Come back also, I say, Daddy, you know, And then Chinese New Year, you know, when we're having dinner, I always, you know, take the best piece of meat and give it to my daddy. He says, without saying anything, my daddy saw the change in my life. I didn't say the church taught me this, you know. I say I do it because it's in the Bible, because my Sunday school taught me, my youth leader taught me that. So I became, you know, even closer to my father after I become a Christian. And God worked miracles. My father one day just gave me back my Bible. Okay, you can go to how my father found out this is from the church, I don't know. No, but he must have seen the change in me after I become a Christian. I didn't preach to him how to dare to preach to parents, you know, father. But from my lifestyle, from the way I treat my parents, my treat my brothers, my sisters, they saw that. You see, God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform, without us saying anything. You can say very loud things, but, you know, sometimes our actions speak louder than words. So, important thing is we honor our parents, we love our parents, because this is what is being, you know, taught here. Secondly, you know, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Here, teach them, you know, teach them and bring them up in the instructions of the Lord. This must go back, you know, I'm sure Paul must have remembered Deuteronomy. You turn to Deuteronomy, this is the great Shema of the Israelites. You know, even today, you know, they are still living this out. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting from verse 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Not only upon your hearts, impress them on your children. Talk to them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates." What he's talking to the children, he says, at every opportunity, you know, not only you keep them in house, but impress upon your children. Talk to them. When you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, at every opportunity, talk to your children. I'm very happy to see, you know, this morning all the Sunday school kids were here, you know, because the Bible tells us, train the child in the way, you know, that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. From very young, bring them to Sunday school. In Straits Baptist Church, you know, it's a walking distance from MMU. You know, we have parents coming, you know, at the beginning of every semester. You know, one time there's a friend, hey, I didn't know, you know, Pastor Song, you were here. Now I give you my son, you know, make sure he comes to church every Sunday. So I told this brother, he said, see, your daddy, giving you to me already, make sure you come to church. Sure, sure, Pastor, I come to church. Three months later, he's no more there already. You know? But this parent have the heart, you know, that he must go to church, and the nearest is Straits Baptist Church to MMU. The parents want them to stay in church. And here it says, you know, train them from young. Teach your children at every opportunity. Not only Sunday school, not only, you know, but every opportunity that you see. I shared with you just now about, you know, the gift of the car that was 15 years ago. And my children were saying, oh, you're so good, you know, this uncle. You know, I wish I have friends like this uncle. Can you know, so that I also receive car. And I said, do you want to be blessed? Is it more blessed to give than to receive? Do you want to be the uncle or you want to be daddy who received the car? Think about that. He was giving me a golden opportunity to teach them. Yeah, it's good to receive a car. But wouldn't you want to be the uncle who can give a car away? Or you want to be here to receive? That was an opportunity for me. Ask God for blessings so that God will bless you so much you can give cars away to every pastor you can see. Rather than to be, you know, there and waiting for people to give you a car, isn't it? Yeah, they realize. True. That was my opportunity to teach my children. And every opportunity, teach your children when you see something on the road. The other day, my 14-year-old son came back from KL Baptist Church, and he says, you know, I was buying a drink at the family mart, and suddenly a man came and says, you know, no need to pay, I'll pay for you, $3.30. You know, I said, do you know him? No. I said, be careful, when people start paying you for a drink. But he said, no, the drink I took it from the fridge myself, so it cannot be a drink that given to you to drink, you know. Right, you see, how blessed, you know. I say, I remember a story I heard many years ago, Reader Digest. One time, a very famous runner, I forgot his name, you know, he had no money to pay his education, you know, and a very rich man found out, and he says, you know, I will pay for your education right through, you know. And this recipient say, how can I repay you? He says, no need to repay me. When God bless you, when your turn comes, when you see people, same thing like you're in need, do what I'm doing to you. Bless them, and you will have repay me. I told my son this story. I see, I remember that story, the same thing. Sometimes you see, you know, when you grow up and you are working and you see a small school child trying to pay for him. You know, because you don't know who that guy is, isn't it? And even if you know whom, he doesn't want you to repay him. He wants you to continue this blessing of blessing more people. It will be multiplied 100 over times. Much more, you know, than ever you want to thank this person. Yeah. And that is teaching them at every opportunity. So here he says, parents, don't exasperate your children. Don't embitter them. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, you know, it says the same thing. Fathers, don't embitter your children or they will be discouraged. The opposite of exasperation is discourage them. And sometimes as parents, we do discourage. We scold them by thinking scolding them, they will be better. We Chinese are very, very good. Chunji, so it becomes chunji already lah. You already told me I'm a chunji, but so why should I study hard? We don't encourage them. We scold them. thinking scolding will help them. I'm sure you have seen in the newspaper, isn't it? One Indian girl, the parents say, you don't pass your exam, you go and kill yourself. She jumped down. Standard 6. Of course, out of maybe to the parents' encouragement, you know. But to the girl, you know, I mean, if I can't pass, I have to die, I die. So sometimes the words that we say, I'm sure the parents regret their whole life, say these things to them. They don't mean it. But out of frustration, maybe the, you know, the child doesn't want to study or whatever. But it's more to encourage them, to exasperate them, to embitter them. Children want more encouragement than scolding. You know, so as parents, you know, do the best we can. Because the Bible also tells us if we cannot manage, especially for leaders, if we do not manage our family well, how can we be leaders of the church? That's one requirement. You know? If our family, if our home is in shambles, you think people will listen to you? If husband and wife, you always quarrel, you know, your children are bad and all those things, how can you be a leader of a church, an elder or a deacon or whatever? People behind may not say anything in front of you, behind, you see, your family also like that. You know? So we need to have a good example before we can be leaders of a church, and especially as parents. I shared with you last Sunday also, and they say, Dr. Billy Graham was asked, such a successful man, die, you know. But before that, people asked, he said, Dr. Billy Graham, you know, you've been so successful. If you have your life to live again, what would you do different? He said, only 3 things. I will read the Bible more, I will pray more, and I will spend more time with the family. Yes, friends, spend more time with the family, you know, especially your children. Educationist tells me we only have them for 18 years. After 18 years, we can't do anything with them anymore. We have no control. Our son went to Beijing Uni to study, you know, when he was about 19. Once he's gone there, we can't do anything. You can't control a remote thing, you know. So you only have them for 18 years to teach them God's word, to teach them how to be good citizens, to teach them how to follow God's word. I always tell my 4 children, I say, whether you are rich or poor next time, it's up to God. But you promise me one thing, that you will never leave God no matter what life throws at you. That would be the best legacy we ever leave our children. Don't ever leave God. If you find a church that you're not happy with, go to another church. But don't leave God. There was what actually a 12-year-old girl told me. I was the chairman of KL Baptist Church, and you know, we have to interview people for baptism. So I asked this young girl, I said, why are you going to get baptized at 12 years old? She said, because my mom told me exactly what I told my children. She says, whatever you do, don't ever leave God. That's why I want to be baptized, so that, you know, I remind myself now I'm a Christian and I will follow God the rest of my life. 12-year-old girl, she's now maybe in her 50s. A leader of a church somewhere in Australia. You see how important we instill that into our children, rather than to study lah, be rich lah, be famous lah, be do. There's nothing wrong with that, you know. Nothing to be wrong to be rich and famous, you know. Nothing wrong with that. But the important thing, the bottom line, is that don't leave God. If God bless you, bless other people. Use whatever spiritual gifts that God have to serve in the church. You know, that is the important thing. Not to be rich and famous so that we get the glory. No. Tell your children that. You know, to whatever you do, don't leave the Lord. And that's the instruction. You know, teach them from young. Teach them at every opportunity. And that is the best thing you can ever teach your children. You know, to always follow God's ways. Here, this week I received this WhatsApp. Maybe the Lord wants me to share with you. He says, we will never be perfect parent, but we can be a praying parent. Prayer is the highest privilege as a parent. Prayer turns ordinary parents into prophets who shape the destiny of their children, grandchildren, and every generation that follows. Your prayers for your children are the greatest legacy you can live. It's from Mark Batterson. True. That's the greatest legacy you can leave your children. Not houses, not FD, not whatever that is. Those are, you know, it's nothing wrong to leave them all that, you know. But your greatest legacy is pray for them so that they will never leave God. And I always tell my children, says, Daddy already 75 years old, don't know, your mother younger, you know, I don't know how, when I'm going to go back to the Lord. But if you promise me that you will never leave the Lord, I will die in peace. Knowing one day I will see you in heaven, whenever there is. But if your children are not Christians, or your parents are not Christians, you'll never be able to see them. Eternity, never, isn't it? So at every wake service, I always tell the people, I always say this, you know, that this person has gone to be with the Lord. If there are any family members, children who are not Christians, you will never be able to see your poor, your beloved father or mother, because you're not a Christian. The only way you can see them again is that you become a Christian. Then you will see them. Otherwise, this is goodbye. You know, they're going to be going to Jesus. You are not, because you're not a believer. And that is the truth. Sometimes we forget that, you know, we think we have lots of opportunity to share with our parents. No, we may not have the moment they leave this world, a chance, the door is closed. So brothers and sisters, if your parents are not Christians, if your children are not Christians, if your grandchildren are not Christians, you have the responsibility to share God's word with them. Let's pray. Father, indeed, we want to thank you for this morning. You brought us here to listen to your word. We want to pray for our non-Christian parents, our non-Christian children, our non-Christian brothers and sisters, Lord. We pray, Lord, that through our life, through our testimony, through our care, and through our love for them, we can bring them into your presence. We pray for each and every one of our family members who are not Christians, Lord, that somehow, Lord, you will bring them to the knowledge that they too become Christians like we do. We pray for each family. We pray for the children. We pray for the parents. Sometimes it's not easy to be children, not easy to be parents, Lord. But you have given us the mandate to honor our parents, to obey them, to love them, to respect them, especially when they are alive. And also for the parents to continue to instill your word into their lives so that they will never leave you the rest of their lives. We pray and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.